welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica at Syosset Library Turn the Page podcast, and we are here today with
Kimmery Martin.
Welcome to our podcast, Kimmery. I wanted to tell you, I finished the book that you have just published. It's already got holds on it at our library, which is great.
Oh, good.
Yes, it's a very, so the book is called The Antidote for Everything, and it is extremely current. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what it's about and what inspired you to write it?
Sure. So The Antidote for Everything tells the story of what goes spectacularly wrong between two very close friends who are both physicians after one of them is unjustly fired. And the basic premise is that these two doctors who practice in a bedroom community outside Charleston, South Carolina, are informed that they can no longer provide medical therapy to transgender patients if they want to keep their jobs. In particular, one of them is told this. And he refuses to comply with that and ultimately is fired.
Which is, I mean, it's absolutely horrific to think that any medical institution would direct their doctors not to treat a patient in need, because they're transgendered, because they're gay. I mean, it's absolutely just such a heartbreaking premise. But is this based in things that that have happened?
Well, it is loosely inspired by, a true life story of a colleague of mine. And I was pretty surprised to learn when I was researching the book how much the laws in America vary. Now, I'm a doctor by training, not a lawyer, and I know you probably want to get legal analysis from a doctor about as much as you want to get surgery from a lawyer.
As a doctor, you have obviously perspective because people's lives are literally in your hands. But tell us how the legal part comes into that.
Yeah. So right now in the United States, it depends on where you live as to how protected you are from being fired because of sexual orientation or gender identity or any of those things. About somewhere around half the states have no protections or very limited protections in that regard. And then for medical care, again, it depends kind of on where you live, but there's supposed to be, a policy within the Affordable Care Act stating that you have to provide medical care for everybody, no matter what sex or gender or, religion they are. But the Department of Health and Human Services right now has openly stated that they will not enforce the policies that are supposed to protect transgender patients. So right now it's in a bit of flux and all this is kind of working its way through the courts.
It's appalling to think that somebody, sometimes where you live is circumstantial. Sometimes you can't change where you live and you certainly can't change who you are. And to think that, you could be in a position where you could be denied medical care is just so sad. So there's two friends. There's Georgia.
Yes, Georgia's a urologist.
And her other friend?
Jonah. He's family medicine.
And Georgia and Jonah have a long history. They've supported each other through a lot. And it's very interesting just the direction the story takes, because then there's a third party in this. There's also Mark. Now, Georgia, when we meet her, she was just dumped while she was operating.
Yes. Yeah, so she's struggled romantically a little bit. And the closest relationship in her life is this friendship that she has with Jonah. And the two of them are you know, neither of them have close family. They're everything to each other. They have that kind of indefinable magical chemistry that you sometimes stumble onto with someone else who just gets you. But there's no possibility that they will wind up together romantically. Georgia is straight, Jonah is gay. And so there is a subplot where she has a meet cute with a guy on an airplane.
I was just about to say, I was just about to say it was a meet cute, but it was like almost like a very gritty meet cute, because he went into shock on the flight to Amsterdam.
Yeah. So it kind of plays into the fear that, you know, most doctors have of a medical emergency on a plane. And her specialty is urology, of course. So she's not, you know, out there defibrillating people or anything all the time.
Well, I mean, one thing I thought was interesting. So Mark, her love interest in the story, goes into a horrific reaction to something on the plane, and they're looking for a doctor, and it's like they're like where's the man, you know? She's like, I'm the doctor, and they're just like, okay, but where's the man doctor? And they're looking for anybody who could somehow qualify as a doctor who's not a woman. So right away I was like, ah, you know, I thought that that was interesting, since she was by far the most qualified person on the plane to deal with the problem.
Yeah, she's kind of a little bit roguish in her character. She, you know, she's got a nose ring and dresses kind of funky and fun. And so she may not look like your typical idea of a physician. So I think that the flight attendant in that scene was a little taken aback by her.
Right. But she did what she needed to do. And it brought a third party into the relationship of her and Jonah. And that was Mark, who he seems enamored with her almost right away.
Yeah. Yeah. He wakes up from, basically he's unconscious when she meets him, and he wakes up and hears this, you know, face hovering a foot above his, checking on him. And yes, he falls in love. I could do that because I wrote the book and I can make people fall in love. Or, you know.
But he doesn't realize, with Georgia comes Jonah, and Jonah is in fear for his job because he's just found out that he's not allowed to treat transgender patients. And he also doesn't fall in line with the hospital's guidelines because he is gay. So it's like a very interesting story almost between, you know, these two people, because Georgia herself, even though she's straight, she is not exactly what they want as a doctor either, is the impression that I've gotten.
Yeah. And I think there's a perception that there isn't a lot of anti-LGBTQ sentiment out there anymore.
There is,
but again,
and that's not true.
I was so surprised to find out that, you know, legally you can fire someone in the state of South Carolina just because you don't like that they're gay. That's legal right now. Now, there is this Supreme Court decision that's going to come down sometime in the next few months about that particular issue, and it's really anybody's guess as to how they will rule. But yeah, I mean, we've evolved a lot in terms of our tolerance as a nation, but not as much as people think necessarily.
So the story goes on. So Jonah and Georgia, they almost kind of start to conspire together to sort of save Jonah's job. And she has to team up with other doctors that she's not 100% thrilled to do so in order to get what she needs. I mean, she's definitely, in a way, do you see her as like a scorched earth, you know, all or nothing type person?
Yeah, I mean, her character, she's a little bit bossy and bullheaded, and she's smart, but she sometimes utilizes her intelligence in a questionable manner. She does desperately want to help the person that she loves the most, but she isn't really able to do that. In the long run, she kind of makes things worse for Jonah, despite wanting to help as much as she does.
Okay, so you had written a book before this called The Queen of Hearts.
Yes, that one was about a cardiologist and a trauma surgeon, in case you're sensing a theme in my work.
How was writing this book different than that book? Like, how were the characters or just the subject matter? Because, you know, this one, like I said, this one, it's really just so current, and it's such a topic that you know, that I think a lot of people would like to know about, because we are opening our hearts and our minds, or at least we're trying to. I think, you know, a lot of people are trying to recognize the differences between people, and that they're still all valid and they deserve to be treated well. What was the difference when you were writing the two books? How did you approach them differently?
Yeah, and you're going to be very interested in what the third book is about. Well, I should preface this by saying that I'm not a writer by training. It was a bit of a bolt out of the blue when I decided I was going to write a novel. And so with my first book, it was not issues oriented as much as it was. I was just trying to write an entertaining, relatively smart novel in a medical setting. And I didn't know how to write a book. So it took me a lot of revision and a lot of practice to get it to where it was readable by anyone else. But at the same time, I enjoyed the process so mightily because I love to read and I really wanted to write a book. The second book is more issues oriented, and it also came with a whole lot of baggage on the writing end, like, you know, timelines and expectations from the publisher.
Right.
Because when you're writing for yourself, you know, you just have fun. But when you're writing as a job, it changes. So they did direct the theme a little bit. I had originally started an entirely different novel after I finished The Queen of Hearts, and my publisher thought it was a bit too sciencey. And they wanted something that was a little bit more contemporary, current. And so we went back and forth a little bit on what the plot would be about. And I was inspired by some real life circumstances that sent me in this direction. I think it's an interesting question to pose. Who should get to make decisions about medical care? You know, do we want administrators doing that, or politicians doing that, or insurance companies doing that, or do we want doctors and patients doing that? And since I am a doctor, you can probably tell where my opinion lies.
Right.
But I think it's a valid question.
So that's actually really interesting. So originally, I know in the afterword in your book, you talk a little bit about what the original story was. And what was the plan?
Well, in my original draft, it was completely different, just an altogether different set of characters and circumstances. But I settled pretty quickly on wanting to make Georgia the protagonist of this book, because she was a minor character in the first book. She was a medical school friend of the protagonist of that story. And I thought she seemed like an interesting character. And Jonah is probably one of my favorite characters I've ever written. I just love him. And he reminds me in real life of somebody I'm very close with. So I knew I wanted to do a story about those two. And I had Georgia dying of a brain tumor in the
very different
original
book.
Drafts of the book. Very different book, yeah. You know, I was kind of taken with the idea of a doctor receiving a diagnosis that she would know within a millisecond was likely terminal. You know, most people, if they are told they have a diagnosis they're not familiar with, they've got a lot of hope, but she would have known within a second of seeing her scan what was up. And so that was how I was going to center the second book. And my publisher said, no, that sounds really depressing. Don't do it. And I'm kind of an irreverent, snarky writer more than I am a serious writer. So I don't know how it would have turned out.
Well, I think, This was a really good book. I mean, it really was. I don't want to give too much away. Did you feel like almost like a weight of responsibility taking on this topic?
Oh, certainly, yes. For a lot of reasons, you know, part of what weighed me down a little bit was I wanted to be very sensitive to the fact that some of the characters in my book are part of a community that I myself am not part of. And my intention in telling the story was to look at it through the lens of this question about who gets to decide on medical care. What happens when a physician's core beliefs contradict the priorities of a hospital administration? But still, at the same time, you know, Jonah, the character of Jonah, he's gay, and he's told not to treat transgender patients. And that's not a community that I am part of. And so I did have a lot of sensitivity readers and get a lot of feedback from people in that community to try to be sure that I was reflecting things in an accurate manner. It's not the story of a transgender patient, because that would not be my story to tell.
I think, Jonah, I agree with you that he was just a wonderful character. I think really, like, there were so many parts in the story I just wanted to hug him. And, you know, I could understand why Georgia wanted to really just go to bat for him. And I found it very interesting almost how forgiving he was of some of the patients who decided they weren't going to go to him anymore, though, because he was gay. That was very interesting. You know, like, I suppose that area, there are a lot of, you know, people who are extremely religious and might feel that it's wrong. But he seemed almost like resigned.
Yeah, I think he's just a loving spirit. You know, he's not a grudge holder. Georgia is a grudge holder, but
Georgia is
not.
Absolutely a grudge holder. Oh my God, she is, totally is. I love her, but wow. Uh-huh.
And you know, they complement each other well, because Jonah is just sort of loves everyone instinctively and inherently. And I did also want to have a more nuanced portrayal of religion. You know, I'm Southern myself. I'm a Christian myself. And I don't hold to the belief that some of the characters in the book do, who use Christianity as a justification for the actions that they take. I mean, I think that there's a broader portrayal of the Christian faith than sometimes is portrayed in the media and so forth.
Right.
So there are some kind of, you know, nuanced dimensions.
I thought that that was very well done, honestly.
Oh yeah. Well, thank you.
So first of all, you said that there's a third book coming out.
Yes. So I'm working on it now, and it has turned out to be completely, but oddly timely. My publisher is pitching it as The Hot Zone meets Sophie's Choice.
Oh.
So that might give you some idea what it's about.
Oh my God. Wow. How did that happen?
Well, I had decided a long time ago that the protagonist of the third book would be an infectious disease doctor. And I thought I would set the story in the midst of a brand new viral pandemic. So for the last, you know, 6 or 8 months, I've been researching virology. And my idea was that this woman would be traveling with her two children. I have her traveling in Southern Europe and Northern Africa. And this brand new virus emerges and starts taking people down. And both of her children become deathly ill. And she has to decide which one of them will receive the only available dose of an experimental antiviral medication. And that plot line is actually also based loosely on real life in an occurrence during the Ebola outbreak. So I just thought that would make a really compelling story. And then all of a sudden we have, you know, COVID-19 and the coronavirus and a real life viral pandemic perhaps on the horizon.
Sometimes the truth and fiction just sort of arise at the same time. But maybe it's also because, you know, fiction based in truth, these things happen, these things come up a lot. You know, like you had said with the Ebola virus, you know, arising and becoming almost like, you know, the thing that I remember when that was the thing that everybody was talking about. And it's crazy, you know, just how quickly these things come up and about.
Yeah, and it's a very realistic concern. We haven't advanced significantly in terms of medical treatments for viral infections much beyond where we were in 1918 when the influenza outbreak killed, you know, up to 100 million people, and many of those people were young and very healthy. We don't have a lot of great antiviral medications right now, although I think there are some interesting things on the horizon.
Well, I think that I would love to read that one, because it is true, you know, even when you go in for treatment for a virus, you know, for the most part, you go in and there's a lot of, you know, like, well, there's really not that much that can be done immediately. So, I mean, I think that this book sounds like it's going to break my heart a little bit, but I'm excited. But so did The Antidote for Everything. And I think you've brought some real heart, pun intended, based on the topic of your first book, to, you know, to like a medical drama. There's, you know, there's a love story. There's a friendship story, love between friends. And then there's the story of humanity and how we would like to treat each other, and how we would, you know, how we recognize people whose struggles are different than ours, but absolutely deserve treatment like everybody else, because we're all different. And that's just, you know, what makes the world go round.
And it's what makes the world great.
It really is. It really absolutely is. And, you know, if more people, sometimes I feel like if more people let go of the hang-ups and embraced the differences, progress would be made so much quicker.
Yeah, I think in general that is very true, that society tends to make the best and most advantageous advances when people come together who aren't necessarily thinking the same way.
Well, Kimmerie, I want to thank you so much for writing this book. Like I said, it already has holds on it. It's really just a wonderful, heartfelt book. I think everybody deserves to meet a Mark.
And a Jonah.
And a Jonah. Everyone deserves to have a Jonah in their life and to meet a Mark, because they're just wonderful, wonderful characters. And George is a lot of fun to read about, too. Thank you so much for sharing this story. And I can't wait to read your next one. Does it have a title?
Not yet. I'll let you know.
All right. Thank you. And once again, this is Jessica, and we are here with
Kimmerie Martin.
And I'm going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.